Hi, I'm Edwin.
And I'm Andrew.
Sound the battle cry.
Two men.
15 minutes.
Eternal impact.
Welcome to Text Talk.
For the Lord, gird your armor on, stand firm, everyone. Rest your cause upon your soul.
Happy Wednesday, Edwin.
Happy Wednesday, Andrew. Revelation chapter 5. I'm going to read from the English Standard Version. We've been left with, here's a sealed scroll. And John was weeping because nobody could open it. But then the elder told him about the lion of the tribe of Judah. And he's going to turn and look at this lion. And what's he going
to
see?
That's going to be breathtaking to see that lion.
Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped.
Love it. I love it every time we read it.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, this is surprising to me because in verse 5, there's the comfort and the announcement that the lion of the tribe of Judah has arrived, and we don't read about a lion the rest of the chapter.
No.
He turns around, he opens his eyes, and this is not a lion, but it's a lamb, but it's not even a lamb because it's a lamb that has been slain.
Slain, yeah. It's like something that's been eaten by a lion.
Yeah, this is a rough-looking lamb.
Yeah. Certainly in this picture, remember, we are in the heavenly tent.
Sure.
We learned last week or the week before last that what the tabernacle was a picture of this heavenly true tent. Mm-hmm. And so when we think of the lamb being slain, we are thinking of a lamb being sacrificed, mm-hmm. as they would take lambs to the tabernacle and then to the temple and go to the altar and slay the lamb as a sacrifice. That's what he's seeing. So he's told the lion of the tribe of Judah has conquered, mm-hmm. and because he has conquered, he is able to open the scroll.
Worthy.
But now what he sees is a lamb. Mm-hmm. It's a lamb who has been killed, and because he has been killed, he is worthy. What? Just right off the bat, let me just say, I find it fascinating that our king has conquered not by killing everyone else. Our king has conquered by letting others kill him.
Mm, yes.
Let's just let that resonate in your mind for a second.
That's part of this upside down kingdom.
Yes.
Upside down kingdom, a kingdom of kings and of priests, as he said, that they have been called out of every tribe and every tongue and every people and every nation. This is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
This lion of the tribe of Judah has brought a kingdom, but as you pointed out, not by that overt war, not in the ways of the kingdoms of men,
mm-hmm.
but by sacrifice and by a cross. This may be a good time to say, hey, wait a second. There's an awful lot of lambs in the Old Testament, And even in the writings of John, we've been trying real hard to make connections to the other writings of John, and this is one of those occasions.
Well, think about that in John. So first of all, I know people will push back, and we'll probably have to make this same kind of point multiple times throughout Revelation. Well, wait a minute, which is he? Is he the lion or is he the lamb? He can't be both. And yet, if you recall back in John chapter 10, if you recall in John chapter 10, Jesus tells this parable about a door and a shepherd going through the door. And we often go back to that and say, oh, yeah, he's the good shepherd. But he also said he was the door.
I am the door.
So he is the door of the sheep that the shepherd goes through. But he's also the shepherd that goes through the door.
Yeah.
And in John chapter 10, he's the shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. So but now we find out that he's actually also A lamb. Boy, now, what a beautiful picture that is. So in John chapter 10, he presents himself as the shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. But in Revelation chapter 5, what we see is a shepherd who has become one of the sheep. Mm-hmm. He is a shepherd who has descended from that rule and that reign and has actually become one of the sheep and has himself died on behalf of the sheep, having become one. He's not a wolf in sheep's clothing. He is a sheep. He has become a sheep and has let the wolf kill him, and he has been sacrificed so that we might have life.
So you've got the wolf to kill him. He's willing to lay down his life in that respect and in that image. But I mean, this idea of a lamb sacrificed to save the people of God, that goes way back.
Oh, way back.
You have, before we leave the writings of John, John the Baptist identifies Jesus as the Lamb of God.
Yes, he does.
Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one of the keys that some of the disciples of John the Baptist start following Jesus. Oh,
right.
He said he's the Messiah.
Yeah.
And that in his baptism and the Holy Spirit descending on him, that would be a sign to John the Baptist that this is the Lamb of God and this is the Messiah. But even that idea of the Lamb of God can go back even farther to the Passover.
Sure. Well, I mean, and John actually brings that up.
Mm-hmm.
This one's a little bit more subtle, but when Jesus is on the cross, recall that the soldiers went to go break the legs of the criminals.
That's right. In John 19, it talks about that.
But Jesus is already dead, so they don't have to break his legs. And in John, it says, not one of his bones will be broken, John 19:36. That is a quote, and he's saying that he's fulfilling scripture there. But what's interesting is that John is not quoting a foretelling of the Messiah. He's actually quoting a law about the Passover lamb. You can find it in Exodus 12:46, Numbers 9 and verse 12, where it points out that they are not supposed to break any of the bones of the Passover lamb. So Jesus, who is actually dying at the time of the Passover, is being executed, and John gives us this subtle but strong message. Oh, this is who Jesus is. He is the Passover lamb.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's the Passover lamb?
So here is this wonderful calling out of Israel, their freedom from their Egyptian bondage. This is the final plague of the death of the firstborn, where the Israelites will be spared from this devastating plague if they observe the meal that the Lord has prescribed, if they're in the house and the blood of the lamb has been painted on the doorposts and the lintel, so that when the destroyer should come that night, he will see the blood of the lamb and he will pass over and there will be life spared in there. So they're released from death, but then, or I should say spared from death, but then the result of that terrible judgment and sign is that Pharaoh says, you need to go.
Yeah.
And all the Egyptians come and bring their money and their funds, and they say, please go. And they depart from the land, having looted the land.
And then every year they recall and remember this deliverance by having a feast, the Passover feast, which leads into unleavened bread, and all of that comes together.
Right.
And so sometimes the whole week is called unleavened bread, along with and sometimes it's called Passover for the whole thing. But Jesus dies smack in the middle of that feast,
right.
And John points out that really he is the Passover lamb.
Mm-hmm.
And so he is our deliverer. He is the one. And now today, of course, we recall and remember that sacrifice, not annually, but as we read the New Testament, we find out that the Christians on the first day of the week would gather together and they would recall and they would remember the Passover, the fact that we have a lamb that died and was sacrificed for us. Mm-hmm. And so we participate by eating his body and his blood through the emblems mm-hmm. of the bread and the fruit of the vine.
Yeah.
And every week we are reminded, this is our Passover. Yeah. This is our lamb. This is the sacrifice. And now, okay, back to our picture in Revelation chapter 5. John has been called up to the heights, mm-hmm. the mountain of God, if you will. He is going to be given from heaven's vantage point, heaven's perspective. And while he is there in the throne room, he sees that God sitting on the throne has a message. It's on a scroll. He can tell that it's written in front and in back. This is going to be full of news for him and for the people that he's going to bring back, for the message that he's going to bring back to the people. But it's sealed, and he mourns and he weeps. But then elder says, no, no, a lion of the tribe of Judah has conquered. And so he gets to open it, and he turns and he sees the slain lamb mm-hmm. that because of that being slain, and that's already been, the stage has already been set for that here in Revelation, back in chapter 1, as we learn about Jesus, what's described of Jesus. It tells us, let's see here, I'm going to go back to Revelation 1 and verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings on earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priest to God for and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Mm-hmm. It is by his blood that he forgives our sins. It is by his sacrifice that he initiated the victory that is going to be brought to God's people, the triumph that is going to be brought to God's people. And Jesus conquers by going to the cross, by shedding his blood, by forgiving. And now the message can be opened. Now the message, and it's not just that the scroll can be opened, but even the events that the scroll is going to describe can now take place because of what Jesus has done.
And so, yeah, so all of heaven is aware then of this incredible accomplished work of Jesus Christ. And before we move on to the next thing, to the seal, he needs to be praised for this. He needs to be praised for this forever and ever.
Yes.
He needs to be praised for this forever and ever from things in the heavens and in the earth and below the earth and everywhere. Must recognize the greatness and the worth of the Lamb. I know we're going to move on real quick, but you know, one of the things that strikes me, Edwin, is going from the depiction of Christ in chapter 1, and you've got the flaming eyes and the sword and, you know, so much white, and you can't even hardly look at him, to now the picture in chapter 4, and he's a lamb slain, covered with horns and eyes, and we'll talk more about that. But it's the same, it is this Christ, but a completely different visualization of him.
A completely different visualization, a completely different picture. One other thing stood out to me while you were talking there that I want to bring up, and then you can take us out in prayer if you don't mind. In the praise in Revelation 5, I'm in verse 9 now, worthy are you to take the scroll to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people mm-hmm. and nation.
Yes.
The Passover lamb in Exodus ransomed one nation.
Yes.
But Jesus, as the ultimate fulfillment, has provided ransom for all people.
Yeah, we
man, that's
victory.
That's victory. And that's why he's worthy to open these seals.
Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you that we can be together and study your word. Thank you, Father, as we read Revelation 5 again, we see Jesus Christ, who is worthy, a king who conquers, Father, by sacrifice and by laying down his own life. It is so wonderful. And the Father, that by the gospel of Jesus Christ and by this accomplished work in your plan, you have redeemed, you have ransomed people from every tribe and tongue and people and nation by the blood of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that there is that grace and that mercy and that invitation to all peoples everywhere, that whosoever will may come to Jesus Christ to know your salvation, to be a part of your kingdom. We praise you for the worthy Lamb who is slain. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks for talking about the text with us today. I'm Edwin Crozier, and I'd like to invite you to join the Christians who meet on Livingston Avenue in Lutz, Florida, this Sunday for our Bible classes and worship. You can find out more at christiansmeethere.org. check out our daily written devotional that goes along with today's episode. You can find a link for it in our show notes. Michael Eldridge sang all four parts of our theme song. You can get more from him at acapeldridge.com. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review Text Talk in your favorite podcast app so others can find it and learn about it more easily. Have a fantastic day.
Steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna. Christ is captain of the mighty throne.